That's what we did by fighting so hard against the most powerful people in the world, even the President of the United States, in order to make this vote happen today. I was called a traitor by a man that I fought for 6 years for. And I gave him my loyalty for free. I won my first election without his endorsement, beating 8 men in a primary. And I've never owed him anything, but I fought for him for the policies and for America first. And he called me a traitor for standing with these women and refusing to take my name off the discharge petition. Let me tell you what a traitor is. A traitor is an American that serves foreign countries and themselves. A patriot is an American that serves the United States of America and Americans like the women standing behind me. And I want to tell you that this only became possible today because the American people whom we serve as representatives here in Congress demanded that this vote happen, and they put more pressure on every single elected politician in this city than has ever been put on them. And today you are going to see probably a unanimous vote in the House to release the Epstein files, but the fight, the real fight, will happen after that.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 18th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the UN Security Council vote that took place yesterday, and the vote was for the next phase in Trump's 20-point peace plan for Gaza, and the UN Security Council voted in favor of the next phase. The only two countries that abstained were no votes against. Two countries that abstained were Russia and China. Those are the two countries that decided to abstain from the vote. And the reason given, at least from the Russian ambassador to the UN, was that, well, there's not enough information about certain aspects of the next phase, and because the countries in the region, they're signed up to the 20-point peace plan. Who is Russia to veto what they're signed up to? So those were the reasons that were given pretty much by the Russian ambassador to the United Nations. And the next part of the plan is about creating a stabilization force in Gaza, and no one is quite sure. This is what the Russian ambassador was getting at when he was explaining why Russia abstained. No one is sure exactly how this force is going to be made up, what countries are going to take part in this stabilization force, and what power the stabilization force will have. There's the component to the next phase of disarmament, and there are question marks as to whether the stabilization force will actively try to disarm Hamas. So we just don't know at this moment what exactly the details are with this stabilization force. But the other part of the phase that was approved was the board of directors, the peace board, not the board of directors. It is a board of directors, and Trump is the chairman of the board, but that's called the peace board, and we're not sure who is going to be on this peace board other than Trump? Tony Blair's name has been floated out there, but there was a lot of pushback with choosing Tony Blair to be on a peace board, right? Tony Blair on a peace board. That doesn't make any sense, but Trump is going to be chairing this peace board, and we await to find out the other people on this peace board. The New York Times says, in a major breakthrough, UN Security Council adopts U.S. peace plan for Gaza. Russia and China abstained in the vote, which provides a legal mandate for the Trump administration's vision of how to move past the ceasefire to rebuild the war-ravaged enclave after 2 years of war. That is coming from the New York Times. Yeah, crazy times, huh? Trump is going to be overseeing Gaza. That's pretty much what is taking place. He is going to be overseeing everything with Gaza as the chairman of the peace board. We've seen our first Athens cat. All right. Trump was happy about the vote. Board of Peace is what he called it in his Truth Social post. I'm saying peace board. He says board of peace. He thanked all of the members of the Security Council. He even thanked the two countries that abstained, Russia and China, because they did not veto this. So he thanked them as well. And look, there's two ways that this can go. We could either be moving towards, and then there's a lot of road ahead, and now we're entering the difficult parts, but we could either be moving towards a type of two-state solution, or we could be heading into continued chaos if all of this breaks down. This is the tough part now. The disarmament, a stabilization force. Netanyahu has already commented on getting closer to a two-state solution, because that's what this vote effectively does. It takes us one step closer to perhaps getting a two-state solution. And Netanyahu said that this is unacceptable for him. But those are the two scenarios, right? Either we do get to some sort of a resolution, in which case Trump owns it, and he would absolutely be worthy of a Nobel Peace Prize, right, if we get a two-state solution, or things completely break down, and Trump owns it. He is now the chairman of the board. So that is the big news from the UN, the big news, the big vote that took place. And we can now move on to Project Ukraine, or let's move on to Trump's golfing buddy, Lindsey Graham, who is posting on X his euphoria. He's absolutely ecstatic, super happy for the opportunity to move forward with his big sanctions bill against Russia and against Iran now. So he's extra happy. It's not only Russia, these secondary sanctions, this embargo that he's working on to put on Russia. It's not only Russia, it's also Iran. So, I mean, Lindsey Graham is just, he's super duper happy. He's just going crazy at the opportunity of putting together legislation that would effectively create some sort of a trade blockade or embargo on Russia and Iran. Senator Lindsey Graham said, with President Trump's blessing, the Senate will move on the sanctions. Yeah, 500% super duper secondary sanctions and all of that stuff, right? We're there. We are there. But there is one caveat to the Lindsey Graham proposal that Trump managed to secure, one concession that he managed to secure, and that is the bill that will most likely be approved by Congress for 500% secondary super duper sanctions, embargo blockade of Russia and of Iran. Trump will be in control of that as well. Trump owns that as well. He will retain, according to Reuters, the final authority whether this will actually be enacted. Right? So Trump is getting some leverage, or so he believes. He will have some leverage over the Putin. He will have some leverage. He can take this to Putin as they continue to negotiate, and he can tell Putin, either you do as we say, you agree to our terms, or I am going to approve Lindsey Graham's super duper secondary 500% embargo blockade, massive sanctions on not only you but also on Iran. So what do you say, Vladimir? What do you say? I like it. Yeah, Trump has the power to enact these sanctions or to not enact these sanctions. He can show mercy on Russia. Trump can show mercy on Russia if he so chooses, of which Russia would tell him, Putin would tell him, I really don't care. 100%, 500%, just make it 1,500%, man. There's no leverage here. No leverage here. That would be the response from Putin. But hey, we are getting a word that Zelensky is ready to negotiate. He's very serious about negotiating and finding a solution to the conflict in Ukraine. He is traveling to Turkey tomorrow, and he wants to get negotiations restarted. He wants to get everything restarted. Witkoff is also going to be traveling to Turkey tomorrow. You know who's not going to be there? From my understanding of things, is Russia. Actually, Peskov said that the Kremlin has not been notified about the restarting of negotiations and some sort of a process taking place in Turkey. But Zelensky says he is absolutely very, very serious about restarting negotiations and getting to a solution in the conflict. The situation on the front line is catastrophic for Zelensky, and I'm sure that played a role in his wanting to at least appear to be trying to resolve the conflict, because this could be all theater, right, from Zelensky. After all, he is a comedian, clown actor, so he's good at the theatrics. But what I think really did Zelensky, and what really changed his mind so that he can go to Turkey and meet with Witkoff, is the scandal, the 100 million Energatom scandal. That is what is pushing Zelensky to appear to be wanting to negotiate. I wonder if there were forces in the Trump White House, anti Keith Kellogg Rubio forces in the Trump White House, that understood the information that Zelensky was feeding to Kellogg and Rubio, and Rubio was feeding to Trump, and the decisions that they were making with regards to Project Ukraine, information about the front line and Pokrovsk and about the casualties, and Trump trusted that information. It's a stalemate, and Russia is not winning. Ukraine is actually winning. And now with the situation unfolding in not only Pokrovsk, but also in Zaporozhye and Kupiansk and across the entire front line, the president of the United States, if he is paying attention, if his advisors are paying attention, they can now go to him and say, yeah, well, Keith Kellogg and Rubio and the information they were getting from Zelensky about the situation on the front line is not as they were telling you. Things are actually going really bad. Russia is advancing, and they're advancing a lot. They are advancing quickly. And maybe we should activate Naboo. That's what I'm getting at. Maybe they said, you know what, Mr. President, the only way you're going to get out of taking a huge, massive freaking L on this is if we pressure Zelensky to give negotiations one more try, and maybe we can activate Naboo, $100 million corruption scandal, whatever, will implicate his inner circle. We got all the documents, all the tapes, all the photos of golden toilets. You said golden toilets. I like golden toilets. I like it. I like those golden toilets. And yeah, maybe that will be enough pressure for Alensky to accept what was discussed in Alaska. The question is, if the Alaska offer from the Russians still holds, given that Russia is going to sooner or later, probably much sooner, capture all of Donetsk, removing what Trump thought might have been leverage over Russia, which is that at the time of Alaska, Russia had captured around 75 to 80% of Donetsk. And so Trump was thinking that the other 20% was leverage that he could hold over Putin. Well, that leverage is gone now. So I wonder if all of this, I'm positive all of this is somehow connected, and there's some sort of maneuvering going on in the Trump White House, not so that they can get to a peace that takes Russia's security interests into consideration, but so that they can find a way to try and freeze or pause the conflict, and not have Trump take a huge L on this, right? And I can see it. Let's say Alensky actually says, okay, fine, you know, I don't want to go down with all the other people in the Annette Gatom scandal. I don't want to go down with these guys. So, okay, I'll agree to some sort of root causes Istanbul plus. This is far-fetched. I don't think this is going to happen, but let's just assume. Let's go down this rabbit hole, right? Let's say Alensky does say, okay. Then Trump can say, you know what? I got my ninth country. I got peace in nine countries. He can say that. And he can say it was my peace through strength, 500% sanctions threat that got Putin to the table, right? I could see him running with that. Absolutely. All of this is connected. So they're going to give it one more try to what I suspect is going to be to try and get to some sort of a pause or a freeze, or get Alensky to budge on Istanbul plus with this NABU corruption scandal and the situation on the front line. And we'll see how all of this plays out. Right now, at the moment, we will be getting a meeting in Turkey with the Green Goblin and Witkoff, and the Kremlin is going to be watching on, right? They have not been invited. They'll be watching on, and we'll see what Witkoff tells the Green Goblin. Sticking with the corruption scandal, there are reports from Ukrainian parliament members. Actually, a Ukrainian parliament member said yesterday that in the audio tapes, the Mindich tapes, as they are referred to, that NABU has, all the surveillance that they were collecting on these tapes is one Ali G. That's right. Ali G. You know Ali G, right? Ali G, respect. No, not Ali G. Not Ali G. Baba Yaga. Baba Yaga is on the Mindich tapes. You know Baba Yaga, right? From John Wick. Baba Yaga, the boogeyman. You stole the car of John Wick. He's not the boogeyman. He's who we send to go after the boogeyman. He's who we send to kill the boogeyman. No, not Baba Yaga. Not Ali G. Not Baba Yaga. On these tapes. Come on, Alex, get to it. I can see the comments right now. Just get to it. Come on, stop talking so much. On these Mindich tapes is one Ali Baba. Yes, not Ali G, not Baba Yaga, Ali Baba. So you are asking, who is Ali Baba? Well, he's on the Mindich tapes, man, Ali Baba. And you may know him as Andrei Yermak. Andrei Yermak is Ali Baba, according to various reports, and it's from, you get Alibaba from Yermak's full name. His middle name begins with a B, Borisovich, I believe, and it's Andrei Borisovich, AB, and so they refer to him in these tapes as Alibaba. Allegedly, his nickname, I guess, is AB or Alibaba. I guess that's what his buddies call him. And the rumors, the statement from this one parliament member, who's in an opposition party, by the way, so, you know, he may be talking BS as well, so always keep that in mind. But I don't think he is. But this guy said, this parliament member said that Alibaba Yermak was trying to find ways to shut down Naboo, and he was working with the intel agencies, the SBU, and all these guys to try and shut down any investigation into the Alensky administration. That's what this parliament member said. MP Yaroslav Zhelezniak, that's who is coming out with these allegations. Baba Yaga, Ali G, Alibaba, Alibaba Yermak. You can't make this stuff up, man. You have the Green Goblin, you have Alibaba, and you have Golden Toilets. You cannot make this stuff up. And the Collective West sent 400 billion, 300, 400, 500 billion to these guys? To the Green Goblin, to Alibaba, and towards the Golden Toilets. Money well spent, Collective West. Can't make this stuff up, man. So that's what's going on with the scandal. Oh, one more thing about the scandal. No, two more things. The Collective West media is running all kinds of stories about the Golden Toilet, which leads me to believe that there might be some play from the White House in order to push the whole Golden Toilet narrative so that they can pressure Alensky. Maybe that's what's going on, because the New York Post, which I would say is close to Trump, right? The NYP. They're running now with a Golden Toilet story, and then they're making sure to say Golden Toilet. That resonates. You know, people will read that and they'll say, are you kidding me? My money went to these guys having a Golden Toilet. Yeah. That's going to upset a lot of people, the Golden Toilet. Yeah. So there might be some White House communication liaising with the media and telling them just push this Golden Toilet thing, and let's see if we can get Alensky to either exit or to agree to Istanbul Plus or something, like Istanbul Plus, some sort of freeze or something like that. One more thing, Umerov, who has been missing for 5-6 days, it looks like he is in the United States. That's how it looks. I can't confirm this 100%, but the rumors, the reports are that he made his way from Turkey. I believe he went Turkey, Qatar, back to Turkey, and then he went from Turkey to the United States. There are rumors that he's actually a U.S. citizen, too. I'm not so sure about that, but there are some reports which claim that his family lives in the United States, or parts of his family live in the U.S., and that he has a U.S. citizenship. And either he is refusing to go back to Kiev. That's what some outlets are saying. Other outlets are saying that he is in the U.S. and he's given up all the goods to the three-letter agencies about the scandal. Somehow I doubt that, but maybe. Maybe there are other reports which say that he's going to return back to Kiev any day now. Actually, I read one report which said he's going to return on Thursday. I don't know. He's in the United States. I don't see him going back to Kiev. I just don't see it, man. I do not see it at all. So that's an update there on Umerov. Do I have anything else to add about Alibaba? Multiple sources say that Alibaba is AB, which is Yermak's nickname, derived from the first two letters in the abbreviation of his full name, Andrei Borisovich Yermak. The MP said, so Alibaba on those tapes is Andrei Yermak. He was well aware of the activities going on at Mindich's apartment. There is nothing more to prove here, he added. That's what the MP said. That's a direct quote from the MP. So the Europeans are freaking out, right? They're freaking out at the fact that Zelensky is going to be meeting with Witkoff on Wednesday. They're freaking out at this corruption scandal. They're freaking out at the situation on the front line. And they're doing their very best to keep the show on the road, to try and keep the war going. They are doing everything they can to try and keep the war going. And it has to do with money for the EU. That's where it starts. The EU is trying to put together the money that is needed by the Zelensky regime so that they can fund and fight the war for another 2 years, because they're running out of money. Come April, they will be broke. $300-400 billion gone. Poof. Poof. Evaporated. Just like that. Alibaba. Alibaba said disappear. Alibaba. The great magician Alibaba took $400 billion and he made it disappear. Disappear. Yeah, so Ursula, as I said yesterday, she presented three options to EU member states in order to fund Project Ukraine for another 2 years. Option number one she sent a letter to all the EU members, and Orban actually talks about the letter that he received. I'll get to that in a second. But option number one is that EU member states raise $100 billion. They dig into their pockets and they give over whatever they can so that they can put together $100 billion. And then I guess the EU is going to supplement the rest somehow, some way. But that's option number one. Just dig into your pockets, EU countries, into your savings, and let's put together $100 billion. Option number two is that the EU collectively, the member states, they take on debt. They all go into debt together, right? And they guarantee the $140 billion as debt. And the third option is to just steal the assets. Seize the assets, not steal the assets. Why do I always say steal? Why do I always say steal? Seize the assets and loan them to the Zelensky regime. And that was those are the options that have been presented to EU member states. Of course, as I said in my video update yesterday, there is another option, which is to just say, I'm not going to get involved in any of this stuff. I'm not going to dig into my pocket and give money. I'm not going to take a loan out for these guys. I'm not so keen on the idea of stealing, seizing the Russian assets. I'm just not going to participate in any of this, which is the road that it looks like Hungary will be taking. And that's the smart road, by the way. That's the correct choice. But Ursula is not presenting that as one of the choices, oddly enough. And Orban, he is taking issue with the letter that Ursula sent to all the leaders of EU member states. Orban rightly points out that this is kind of crazy to put together $140-150 billion, whatever it is, $135.7 billion. Ursula even calculated, she's Vandermath, so she calculated the exact amount that is needed. It's $135.7 billion. That's the exact amount that Ukraine needs to keep fighting the war for 2 years. And Orban said, this is nuts. This is crazy talk. We have this corruption scandal unfolding in Ukraine. This is probably just the tip of the iceberg as far as corruption goes. We all know that we're dealing with the most corrupt country in Europe, one of the most corrupt countries in the world. And now we're going to take on debt or to seize Russia's assets so that we can hand over more money to Zelensky. He said, this is nuts. He actually referred to the leaders in Brussels as the war mafia. Let me cross the street and read to you what Orban posted on X. Orban, he said, I received a letter today from President von der Leyen. She writes that Ukraine financing gap is significant and asks member states to send more money. It's astonishing at a time when it has become clear that a war mafia is siphoning off European taxpayer money Instead of demanding real oversight or suspending payments, the commission president suggests we send even more. This whole matter is a bit like trying to help an alcoholic by sending them another crate of vodka. Hungary has not lost its common sense. Okay, so he referred to the Zelensky regime as the war mafia, not Brussels, my bad. At a time when it has become clear that a war mafia is siphoning off European taxpayers' money. Is he referencing the Zelensky regime or is he referencing Brussels? What do you guys think? I don't know. Maybe he's referencing both when he uses the term war mafia. Interesting choice of words from the Hungarian leader. He's right. He is right. It is like sending a crate of vodka to an alcoholic. It's very, very correct, because that money is going to disappear. They say that that money would last for 2 years. That money's going to last for like 6 months, man. And everyone knows it. Everyone knows it. This is the last big chance for everyone to make bank. That's my sense of things. That's why they're pushing so hard to get this money to Ukraine. This is the last throw for the globalists. So the EU Commission, by the way, is telling Belgium, because their preferable way forward, the option that they prefer, is for the Russian assets to be seized. And so they're trying to give all kinds of guarantees to the government in Belgium. And they're telling the Belgian government, don't worry about it. Don't worry about any lawsuits. Don't worry about any legal fallout. Don't worry about it. We'll cover all the costs. Isn't that nice of Ursula? She said, we'll cover all the costs. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about any of it. Trust me, bro. Trust me, Belgium. Seriously, Belgium. Belgium government, why are you worrying? Ursula's got your back. Why are you worrying? If Ursula says that she's got you guys covered, well, she's got you guys covered. What could possibly go wrong? She's thought this all out. She's thought this all out. I don't think Belgium has anything to worry about. Trust in van der Leyen. In van der Leyen, we trust. Oh, let's do one more story. And we can get to a clown world. And Germany, the defense minister of Germany, Mr. Pistorius, he is now saying that Russia may attack NATO in 1 year. He gave an interview to a German publication, Frankfurt Allgemeine Zeitung. And he said that, look, the military experts were thinking that Russia would be ready to attack NATO by 2029. Well, according to Pistorius, some say, this is a direct quote, some say it's conceivable as early as 2028. And some even believe we have already had our last summer of peace. Summer of love. No, not the summer of love. Not the summer of love, the summer of peace. We've had the last summer of peace, everybody. Because in 1 year, according to Pistorius, Russia is going to launch an attack against NATO. Why are they going to launch an attack against NATO? Don't know. Don't know. Doesn't make any sense, but don't think about it too hard, everybody. Just approve the hundreds of billions that will go to the MIC company so that we can pump up the stock of Rheinmetall, right? It's in competition with NVIDIA. Which stock is going to be the best performer of the year? Is it going to be NVIDIA or is it going to be Rheinmetall? So that's Pistorius. The Kremlin has responded to this, by the way. They responded very quickly to the statement from Pistorius, and they're basically saying this guy's delusional. It's all nonsense. That's what the Kremlin is saying. Nonsense. Nonsense. All of it. So let's do do some clown worlds and we can wrap up this video. By the way, the EU defense commissioner, yes, the European Union has a defense commissioner, of course. Why not? Why not? Not NATO. This is the EU defense commissioner. Nothing to do with NATO. He's from Lithuania, I believe. Former Lithuanian president, either Lithuania or Latvia, or maybe Estonia. I don't know. I'm not sure. I get them all mixed up. But he is saying that when Russia prepares to attack Europe, perhaps Ukrainian troops could help defend the EU. That's his plan. That is his freaking plan. Did I mention that the New York Times actually have an article saying that Europe, when it comes to keeping the war going in Ukraine, keeping Project Ukraine going, that Europe doesn't have a plan B? The EU is without a plan B. Let me see if I have it bookmarked here. Ukraine's cash is running low and Europe has no good plan B. They have no good plan B. They have a lot of plans, plan B and C and D. It's just not any good, according to the New York Times. It's not any good. So anyway, the European Union Defense Commissioner is saying, don't worry, if there is some sort of an attack by Russia, Ukraine's got our back. That's what he's saying, the Defense Commissioner of the European Union. Michael McFaul, someone who does not like Putin, does not like Russia. He was actually the ambassador to Russia under, I believe, Obama, right? Anyway, he doesn't particularly like the Putin government, or Russia for that matter. He says he likes Russia, but he doesn't like Putin anyway. That's what he says. He posted on X, I wish the United States had as robust and effective anti-corruption institutions and organizations as Ukraine. Come on. Come on. That's not a real post on X. Come on. No, no, no. It is. It is. He actually posted that. Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe, you know, the United States can learn from Kiev, from Zelensky, how to tackle corruption. Can learn a thing or two from the Green Goblin. Sit down, America. I teach you how we handle corruption. Podolyak, take out the whiteboard and give me the marker. I will teach my friends in D.C. how we take care of corruption here in Kiev. Oh, man. Anything else? Macron posted on X a photo of himself with the Green Goblin holding the agreement, the letter of intent or whatever it is, a contract of intent. And he's with the Green Goblin. And in this photo, it says, Grand jour, Berniki Dane. Grand jour, Berniki Dane. That is what this photo says. France selling fighter jets that it does not have to a country that does not have the money to buy those fighter jets with pilots that do not exist in a war that is being lost with a corruption scandal that continues to pick up steam. Yeah. Sounds like a good plan from little Napoleon. It's all theater, man. It is all theater, just like the 150 Gripen fighter jets, right? Contracts that the MIC companies will, or letters of intent that the MIC companies will work to turn into contracts. Whatever happens with Ukraine, they're not going to care what happens to Ukraine, but they're going to want these letters of intent to turn into some sort of contracts so that they can get the money, right? They're not going to give up on the money, the MIC companies. You better believe it. Anyway, that is the video. I forgot to say like, share, subscribe. Once again, no problem. Maybe I will remember tomorrow, but that is the video for today. Coming to you from Athens, Greece. We are on Telegram and X and Rumble. I'm going to get a coffee and get this video published, and I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.